Good morning.
My screen went black and it worried me for a second there, but I'm fixed. Good morning, everybody. If you don't know me and I don't know you, my name is Christina Kleinert. I'm the one wife of the one man. Where is he? Oh, there he is. But two children. We have two children. this morning I'm going to speak about something that it's been a while that God started to speak to me about it in my personal life. I just want to give the background scenario. My husband and I had some trouble with someone renting a house from us. We bought it about 2 years ago as an investment, but the only way we could do it was to have someone to rent from us, otherwise we couldn't afford it. So in that way we really trusted God to build up something for ourselves. And about 10 months ago this lady stopped paying us, so we were gedompel. Ons is in groot moeilikheid gedompel. Okay, my English doesn't go into that. Do you know that word? Do you know much Afrikaans, hey? Sê geweer? Nee, gedompel is nie 'n strong word nie. Nee. Okay, anyway, we were stuffed into a very difficult situation. Bottom line. So everyone would say, do this to get the lady out, or do that to get her out of your house. But everything they suggested was illegal. So we decided we're just going to stick to what is legal. And so finally, somewhere earlier this year, there was a court case, and she will be kicked out of the house if she's not out by the 30th of April. It sounds cruel, but it has put us in a lot of trouble. So bottom line is, all through this whole thing, there was a lot of ways how we could have handled it, but we felt that we should stay obedient to what is right. And we're still trusting God that everything will come out right, but I just want to give you the background where my message comes from. So I made the theme knockout. And I googled the word to see what pops up. And it said, a tournament in which the loser in each round is eliminated. So this morning, that is the theme, but you will see there's a catch. So there's a lot of scriptures. So buckle up. Be ready to read a lot this morning. If you struggle to stay awake whenever you are reading, I don't know about you, but I can read maybe two pages in a book, then I fall asleep. So if you think you're going to fall asleep while we are reading, shake your head or stand up or do something, but please stay with me, stay awake. It's going to be intense. So I went to take everything there back in the Old Testament. But we will end in the New Testament, don't worry. So let's go to Deuteronomy. If you want to follow in your Bible, so we're going to start with Deuteronomy 6. You can follow on the screen as well. I hope it's clear enough. I tried to make it big. Can you see it? Okay. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord our God, your God, has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and your son, and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. Can you catch the drift here? The whole thing is God is saying, do what I say, and fear the Lord, that it may be well with you. Next one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Okay, so the next thing is, love the Lord your God with everything. Teach it to your children and take it wherever you go. So when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up, wherever you are, teach your children to love the Lord with all their heart. And then wherever you go, so it's on the doorposts, on the gates, everyone should be reminded. So whatever God is saying, keep it in front of me wherever I go. So you might ask, I said knockout and now I speak about obedience. You will catch it a little bit later. So I said obedience is the love of the Lord. So I tried to make equalization. Is that the right word? Help me, English people. I try to equalize obedience to something. No, not compare. Is gelijk aan. Equalize. Thank you. Okay. So, whatever, this is obedience, and this is the love of the Lord. So they equalize to each other. Is gelijk aan. So when I love the Lord, I am obedient. So because I love him, I do what he says. Now, the next scripture is a caution against disobedience. So hold your seats. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities. And it goes out on about everything that he will give him. And then we go down, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of peoples who are all around you. Now, if we take it into today's terms, I think we will take it, let's make it practical, things that become more important to us than God. That is other gods. So if there's something in your life more important than God, it becomes these other gods. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit, and it says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Why? What is verse 19 saying? Why should I do all these things? To cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. That's the knockout. There's the knockout. When I love the Lord, when I fear him, when I'm obedient, when I do everything he tells me to do, when I don't put other gods, maybe my cell phone or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, let's face it, media and stuff like that, how much time if you compare, and I am guilty, if you compare how much time you spend on Facebook compared to how much time you read the Word, if you have to compare that, we have to confess. It's much easier to scroll like this and find entertainment than to sit down and drink his word. So God is saying, when you love me so much, when you hear and obey, I cast out your enemies from before you. I cast them out. And And then even when your son asks you about it, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt. So you tell, you have to testify. You testify, where has God brought you from? And then it says, and I'm going to fast forward to the next slide, Grant. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good. So God is saying all these things for our good, always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. And I said, obedience is the knockout. It places me in a position where God fights on my behalf. So when I do what I feel God has spoken to me, I just stand in this place and He goes and He fights for me. And the good news is, there was the previous heading in the Bible was the what happens when you are disobedient, but there's blessings of obedience. So it says, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which He swore to your fathers, and He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land. When I read this, I said to the Lord, thank you, Lord, I already had the blessing of the womb or the fruit of my womb. No more. Two kids are enough. But I realized that's not more children. That is to bless my children, because they are the fruit of my womb already. And the fruit of your land and your grain and your new wine. So God is speaking there a big blessing over everything around you. Fast forward to the next slide. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known. Also you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. So now He's speaking about the enemies. So when he bring enemies, or when they are enemies that they have to fight, they have to destroy them. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. So make a mental note of that one. We're going to speak about that a little bit later. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. So whatever you are facing in your daily challenges, God is saying you don't have to be afraid. But you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh. And this is the place where I want to challenge you. And I know the men find this maybe difficult, but I have a journal and I write down my prayers. Like whatever is in my heart, whatever is in my mind, I write it down. And as God is giving me scriptures regarding that, I'm writing that down. And whenever I face difficult situations, I go back into my journal to see what God has said to me already. So that, and that's where this scripture comes in that says, but you shall remember what the Lord has done for you. So go and remind yourself what God has done already for you. And He said, so shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet amongst them. And okay, now I'll tell you how God is going to destroy them. Fast forward to verse 21. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. Now, yeah, I realized many times we are facing situations and you really desperately need a breakthrough from the Lord. but sometimes he's doing it little by little. It's not always all at once. Sometimes you just have to practice patience, which you don't have when you are in a hurry. But it is saying little by little. Why? Look at this. You will be unable to destroy them at once. Why? Lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. So he's doing it little by little because he knew if there's less people, you will not be able to handle what's going on in the field. So the Lord knows. He knows beforehand why he's doing something little by little. He will deliver their kings into your hands, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is in them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be ensnared by it. For it's an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, make a mental note again. We're going to speak about that again. There's a scripture where we're going to see where this pops up, where someone wasn't obedient. I'm going to fast forward to Deuteronomy 8. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Oh man, to humble and test you. I was thinking this week, when you're in school, the teacher tells you, we're going to write a test tomorrow. But the Lord is not telling you, Rizal, there's going to be a test tomorrow. I'm going to test your obedience. No, only us. When we are reading the Bible, we can see that God was testing them. They didn't know that God was testing them. To test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And I said obedience is to live from every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So that's the thing that will feed us. That will feed us the power to give that knockout. Therefore, you shall keep, I'm going very fast through these scriptures because they are very long. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you in a good land. And there is just this description of how beautiful what God has ahead of them. And he says, you will lack nothing. And I'm going to fast forward a little bit. So it's speaking about all the blessings, the good land which has given you. But I said the obedience is the fear of the Lord. Because I have this respect in my heart. Fear is not to be afraid. There's a difference. That fear, that when the Bible is speaking about the fear of the Lord, it's speaking about my respect, my reverence towards the Lord. And when I have that in my heart, I will obey. I will obey whatever he's saying. Then, oh dear, it's saying, beware. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. And it's saying, do not forget the Lord when it's going good. Because it's telling there about everything that is beautiful. And God took you out of bondage. We're going to fast forward. It is God took you into a land where there were scorpions and everything. There was no water, but God gave you water. And then it said, he fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. So a test is not to nail us. We sometimes we struggle to understand God's heart. We seeing kids, they do, come on. But that's not his heart. That's not how he works. He's testing you. He's humbling you to do you good. It's only going to do you good. Then you say in your heart, "Ugh, my powers and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." No. You shall remember the Lord your God. So he's saying, he's testing you to see whether you're going to think that you have been the great one around here. No. He's doing you good. He's testing you and give you power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. His heart is a heart of covenant. I'm going to throw myself off track now, but his covenant started with Abram already. He said, "I establish my covenant with Abram." So God's heart is a heart of covenant, not a contract. So I said, beware, obedience gets tested. And we're going to look at a few tests now. The first test was Abram. And also, he didn't get the memo. God didn't tell him, "Abram, we're going to do a test this week. Tomorrow, take your son. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. It's just a test." No, he didn't get that part. God tested him. He took his son. They went off. And he left the servant at some place. And he said to the servant, "The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." He didn't tell the servant, I'm on my way to offer my son, to sacrifice my son. He said to him, "We are going to worship." So here I said, obedience is worship. The way I obey God is a way of worshiping God. The next one. And this is where all the trouble started. That's not new to us. But in the Garden of Eden, they questioned God's voice. Because the devil said, "Did God indeed say that you shouldn't do that?" Now they start to doubt. What's God's motives here? I mean, we see in Deuteronomy, we read, he's doing it to do you good. It was for their own good. But now they start to question God's voice and God's character. And thought, maybe it's not that bad. And many times in our lives, we think when something comes our way, you think, it's not that bad, you know? And you just do it. And you think, I will deal later with the consequences. But the consequences are much more intense than that small thing. You gather it as something small, but it has much larger consequences. I said obedience is knowing God's voice. And this scripture is so precious to me. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Sorry, I didn't put the reference there. It is John 10, verse 27, if you want to write it down. And now the next test was Jesus going into the wilderness. Actually, just after Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led into the wilderness. So he didn't go empty into the wilderness. He was being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Can you remember way back in Deuteronomy? God already said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. So here, the devil came to question Jesus' identity. And so many times in life, we get questioned by our identity. And Jesus could have said, I'll prove him wrong. I am the Son of God and I can turn this stone into bread. No. He knew he was the Son of God. He didn't have to prove himself. He knew who he was. He didn't have to prove himself to the devil. So he said to him, what is written? He told him what is the word that he was living by. And then his next temptation was, if you worship before me, all will be yours. And then the last temptation again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So in that wilderness, he tested him. He had three temptations. First, it was his identity. Then it was his worship. And again, his identity. And many times when we are questioned in our identity, we compromise because you want to prove yourself. So obedience is to know who you are and know who you worship. Now our next candidate is Saul. Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. So, in this case, God gave instruction. He said to Samuel, go tell Saul, they must go to these guys and utterly destroy them. There must nothing be left. You must kill the king. You must kill the children, the women, the animals. And you shouldn't take anything. You will not take their gold. You will not take their animals. You will not take their silver. You won't take anything from them. You destroy it completely. So what did Saul do? But Saul and the people spared Achab and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to destroy utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So he was like, oh, I did it. But what did he do? Half of it. So Samuel said to him, why do I hear the bleating of sheep? And Saul said, oh, no. It was the people, it wasn't me. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. So you can brag and think you have done what the Lord told you to do, but if you haven't done the full complete thing, you haven't done what the Lord told you to do. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission. So he thinks obedience was to go on the mission. But what did God tell him to do on the mission? On which the Lord sent me, and brought back Achab, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took off the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of lambs. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And this, we know this scripture very well, but this is actually very scary. Because to not do what you're told to do, or that's rebellion. if you stand up, let's start with school rules. It's easy to speak about school rules. If this, none of you are in school, but it's easy to relate to. So the rules in school is boys' hair will be shut, will be short. Now you decide, I just want to feel what it's like to grow my hair. And I don't care about the school rules. That's rebellion. And we just think, oh, he's just a little bit disobedient. But whenever you go against the rules, you rebel. And in this original text, it is actually said, the original text doesn't say rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It says rebellion is witchcraft. So somewhere between the translations, they try to make it sound a little bit nicer or something. I don't know. But I just know that many times we compare witchcraft to something that Satanists and whoever else is doing, some funny stuff. But the word is saying, when you rebel against what God is saying, you are practicing witchcraft. And that is opening a door for Satan. So rather be obedient to what God is saying than doing your own thing. And the next one, the stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I realized that whenever I'm stubborn, it means I'm pushing to get my will. That means my will becomes the idol. And that's idolatry. So, all in all, Saul was respecting more what the people were saying. He tried to please them, keep them happy. So obedience is not to fear man or be a people pleaser. Many times I have to make difficult decisions. And those difficult decisions is bringing me to a place where I won't be popular. I remember in school, I went to a new school when I was in, what is grade? Standard 8 is grade 10. When I was in grade 10, and most of the kids go, obviously, from grade 8, they go to the high school. And I went from a very small town where we were 9 kids in the class. I went to a school where there's 1,000 kids in the whole school, 30 kids in the class. So it was very difficult for me to adapt there. And so lots of the children that was with me in the school, in that small town school, they also went to that school. But when I got there, they already made new friends and I didn't count at all. So I had to figure out where I will find new friends, and I just slotted in with whoever accepted me. I had the identity crisis anyway in that stage of my life. And then by the time I was in matric, I just decided and realized these children are not, they are not following God. And they are not living by the standards I live. And they are not speaking the way I speak. I can no longer defile myself with what were their lifestyles, because they had fake lifestyles. They would go to Sunday school, and on Monday they will brag about their party life from Saturday evening. I mean, so I just decided, okay, I'm going to make a move. Even if I have to sit in the library every break time all by myself, I'm just going to make a move. And that, the day I made that decision, one of my other friends that I knew were also serving the Lord, she said, "You're not going alone. I'll go with you." And about a week later, a second friend also said, "Okay, I'm also going to join you." So three of us stayed best friends till the end of matric. But the effect I had in my spiritual life, spiritually, I've grown so much from that day, I made the decision not to defile my ears and my thoughts and my life with the way they were speaking and telling dirty jokes and the way they're conducting their lives. By separating myself from that, that was the day where I felt God started to work in my life and growing spiritually. So I want to challenge you today not to be a people pleaser, not to do things just because it will please someone. So the next scripture, I'm not going to read it. Some of you might know it. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. So at that stage, all the people would sell their things and have everything in a communal purse, I almost can say. They would bring it to apostles, and the apostles would distribute as needed. So Ananias and his wife decided they're going to join the trend, and they sold their land, and they decided, okay, we're just going to bring part of it to the apostles. And as Ananias came to the apostles and he laid his share that he has got for selling his land, they said to him, but listen, that's not all of it. So the Spirit of the Lord was telling him, this guy is cheating. Or not cheating, he's not honest. And right there, he fell dead. And as his wife came in, they said to him, listen, to her, the same men that took out your husband will take you as well, because you did this thing. So I said there, is this obedience gone wrong? No. They just did something to be, I couldn't get the English word. The aansien van mense. Approval, I also got to approval, that was my best, to get the approval of people. So he did something to look good in people's eyes, to get their approval. And, sorry? Yeah, pretending. Yeah. So that brought them to a place where they fell dead. I mean, that's severe. But bottom line is, my obedience should be complete obedience. It's like Saul also only wanted to please the people. He didn't do the complete thing that God was telling him to do. And the last one is actually a beautiful place of obedience. It's when Jesus fed the 5,000. He said to the disciples, listen, you feed the people. They said, but we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. So they could have said, I'm not going to make a fool out of myself by trying to feed all these people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. No, they didn't say that. They trusted and they were obedient. They gave the food to Jesus. And the moment it was in his hands, it multiplied. So when I can hand over the little bit that I have into Jesus' hands, he can perform the miracle. So I said, obedience makes room for a miracle. So whatever you have in your hands today, and you need a miracle, that little bit you have, give it into his hands for the miracle that you need. I also just threw in another one there. I was thinking about Lazarus. Jesus said to him, take away the stone. They could have said to Jesus, oh, what about the smell in there? We cannot face that. Or, yeah, they could have had a lot of excuses, but they removed the stone and Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And there was another opportunity for a miracle to take place. So, in conclusion, obedience always boils back to who do I love and who do I serve? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And today I want to pray for you, and I want to pray that your love for God will be so stirred that in every situation you you find yourself in, that you will rather obey with all your heart than to obey a little bit. If God is saying, give Daniel 100 rand, you don't give 50 rand. You give him 100 rand. Because you're going to tell God, you might tell God, oh, I actually need the other 50. But if you're obedient, you give him the 100 rand and God will provide the 200 rand, not just the 50 rand you still need it. Let's close our eyes. Lord, today we want to stand before you with hearts to love you and to obey you. And Lord, this day I want to pray for each and every one. I don't know what's their situations. If there are things that they have to accomplish and the people around them scream and tell them to do illegal things to get where they need to be. Or whether there's someone who has something in their hands and they just need to give it into your hand to perform the miracle. Lord, if there's someone who needs you to fight the battle for them, Lord, I pray that they will come to you and hear your word today. What are you saying? And I pray that obedience will become a first priority for us. Because we love you with all our heart, soul, and strength. That it will not be a performance thing. And that we will not try to please people, even in the spiritual, because Ananias and Sapphira was actually doing a spiritual thing. It was a spiritual thing to do. But Lord, I pray that we will just be so hungry for your word, hungry for your love, that we will obey. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us and that we can hear your voice. You are saying, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And today, Lord, I pray that we will not question your voice like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. We will not question whether you have spoken to us. We will not question our identity. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. This morning I pray that you will just come and just touch all those small parts in our hearts that's screaming out, I need you, Jesus, I need you. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you feel this morning that you're that person that needs that miracle, you're that person that needs that breakthrough or need God to fight that battle for you, whatever is the situation you find yourself in, please come to the front that we can pray for you. We have a lot of leaders here that can pray with you. And you're welcome to join us for coffee and have a blessed Sunday.